Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 66, Developing Your Own IT Training Strategy. Here we go. Today my guest is David Davis. How you doing, David?
Hey, Rick. I'm great.
Awesome. Thanks for being on the show, David. You and I were talking about something else, and I'm like, you know, this is one area I've kind of neglected in my podcast, and that's how someone can develop their own personal strategy. And I can't think of anyone better to talk about it than yourself. So, David, you've been on before, but can you give everyone a bio of yourself?
Yeah, sure. You know, my name's David Davis. My blog is VMwareVideos.com, and I work for TrainSignal. And, you know, my full-time job is creating video training products around virtualization. In my part-time, of course, I write a lot of different blog posts and white papers, speak at conferences and such. And I came actually from the user side of things, where I, was heavily interested in, you know, certifications, really of all kinds, Cisco and Microsoft and virtualization.
Yeah, and that's great, because I've always known you to kind of, you know, be pushing the edge, that leading edge, and staying up to date on your certifications. But I think a lot of IT pros out there, they might take a class here and there, right? Okay, this new version of Windows or VMware come out, I'll go take a class on it. Oh, they've got a test for, you know, a credential that goes along with it. Maybe think about it. But before you know it, you've missed your window, right? You know, at the highest level, David, how would you describe, you know, ways that the IT pro can think about developing their IT training and certification strategy?
Well, to me, I mean, certification, there's always been two reasons to do it. You know, one is, you know, personal gratification. You know, you just enjoy learning and proving to yourself that, yes, you have the knowledge, you know, in this particular topic. And then the other aspect of it is, you know, proving to others that you have that knowledge. So using that certification, you know, perhaps to get a raise or get a promotion or to get a new job. And I think if you're a leader, especially, it's also important to encourage others on your team, you know, to follow in suit and get certified as well.
I think the other part of it is, you know, there's, you know, I guess if you're looking at it as a vehicle to make those advances you talked about, but there's also the other half of that vehicle being effective is the experience. It could be in your professional work experience. It could be in lab work even. That's a great way to kind of round out the training and certification path. I know you and I both have decent labs at home. How valuable is lab experience or, you know, at work experience to supplement training?
Oh, I think it's absolutely critical. And I mean, you make a good point about experience. You know, having a paper certification, as they call it, you know, a certification without experience to back it up is very, you know, frowned. I mean, not only is it frowned upon, but it's worthless. Yeah. I mean, it might get you a good, acronym on your resume, but, you know, that's about it. And I don't know how many times I've, gained experience through certification, and certification has been the start of that experience. In other words, what I'm saying is, you know, I might know nothing about, let's say, Microsoft PowerPoint, but instead of just reading a PowerPoint book, I go with the certification route and say, okay, I'm going to get certified in PowerPoint, and what I need to learn to get certified in PowerPoint, and those are the things I learn, and that's how I gain my experience. So I think there's, you know, two different routes you can take, but in the end, you know, not only do you want the certification, you also want a lot of experience.
When it comes to that experience, it's tough because you have a choice, right? And, you know, most of our listeners, and you and I, of course, we spend a lot of time in that virtual realm, right? The virtualization, the VMware, and the Hyper-V realms. But, you know, if you go farther down those roads, you know, what about the other technologies, right? Do we need to, you know, keep storage a priority in our training and certification path? Do we need to keep networking technologies a priority as well? Same for operating system stuff, right? So, you know, outside of virtualization, there's still, you know, the Windows Server realm, Active Directory, all those other technologies that are all related. You know, what kind of advice could you give to people on how to balance all the other technologies that might complement one's individual training path?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's always difficult to do, but it's also what keeps, IT so exciting is there's always new things to learn, and there's so many different aspects, you know, related to IT and infrastructure. I mean, you know, some people try to become a sort of jack of all trades. Other people try to, you know, hone in on one particular area like storage or just networking. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I've always, you know, working at a, you know, medium-sized, privately owned family, you know, company, we were really forced to be the jack of all trades. And so I think I've always just been the jack of all trades. And recently I wrote an article on what I called it is becoming an infrastructure engineer. Basically the person who, you know, takes care of the infrastructure and knows everything about it. And that's include, you know, operating systems, virtualization, storage, networking, and servers. So I guess my advice is to, you know, as the guy from the Dos Equis commercial, you know, says, stay hungry, my friends, you know, yeah. keep continually learning. Don't be afraid to pick up a new topic and try to stay well-rounded.
Where was that article? I'll make sure I throw it into the podcast notes.
It's on the Train Signal blog. I can send you the link after, but yeah, it's basically, you know, really challenging people to, you know, as the, you know, the office space, the guy in the basement, I can't remember his name now. You know, he was continually pushed out because he didn't have experience and he wasn't relevant anymore. You know, you don't want to be that guy. You want to keep, you know, learning new things. And I think, the cloud computing, you know, topic that's hot today is really a great excuse to do it because cloud, you know, is sort of, all those different pieces of IT infrastructure working together. So you want to be a cloud engineer or, you know, infrastructure engineer and really, you know, provide business value to your company, not just the guy who can, you know, configure a RAID group or fix the printer, you know, kind of thing.
Well, that's a good point. You know, there are a ton of people and, you know, to an extent, I'll say I'm guilty of it also, that are really great at fixing problems, but not so good at fixing the infrastructure and the solution so that the problems don't come back, right? And you almost could do yourself a disservice by really being really good at fixing problems but not, you know, knowing how to prevent the problems. Do you ever see that type of situation?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, businesses, they need business solutions and value out of their, you know, employees. And, you know, I think sometimes we get stuck in the IT bubble of, yeah, let's make the, you know, the servers, you know, 2 milliseconds faster or, you know, some sort of speeds and feeds and, forget about, you know, hey, our salary's paid by, you know, this company who's selling widgets and we got to help them sell more widgets kind of thing. So.
Yeah. And that's, you know, the focus, the mission statement, you know, what I try to do, at least help people do, I should say, and then to an extent myself, is to align technologies with that of the business goals, right? The mission statement, right? It's one of those mission statement types of things. And then wherever I can, use resources like training and certification that help me get to that level. Personally, I am going to be trying to up some of my certification inventory. I have some Microsoft stuff coming around the horn right now. Specifically, in my professional responsibility at work, I have to I'm one of the people that we, you know, for gold partnership status in a couple of different categories, so I've got some Microsoft work to do in the coming future. And, you know, as you know, I work a lot in the VMware realms, so I kind of manage two different ecosystems, right, of training. So I try to keep a good level on both the Microsoft and specifically the Microsoft virtualization, right? Microsoft's a huge ecosystem. And then VMware virtualization specifically around vSphere, so, you know, VCP, that type of stuff. So, David, do you ever see people that try to take in too much? I can't mentally prepare myself. I don't think I could do more than three, like, major realms of technology, you know, like storage, networking, and virtualization. That might be as much as I could take in as a person. Other than Scott Lowe, who do you know that can do everything?
I mean, I've certainly been guilty of trying to do everything. I just took a CompTIA Cloud Essentials course, and then now I need to go recertify my Cisco CCIE and routing and switching. And so, you know, some very different aspects of technology there. But, you know, of course, it can be a problem. I think, you know, personally, I'd rather have be trying to take on too much than not enough. Mm-hmm. It is always my failure, or you know, good or bad. That's always what I tend to do.
Well,
you know, kind of.
Yeah, and that's aligned to your roles too. I mean, you're in the business of IT training and certification, so you know you have to push the envelope. And in a way, that's great because that's an excellent role model for the rest of the world, in my opinion.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
What about, you know, what's missing in the world of IT training? Right? Is it just the time? Is it you know, what if you could change anything? You had this magic virtual wand of IT training. What would you, you know, recommend to people? And then how would you change the, you know, the way people go about their training to fix any issues you see?
You know, to me the biggest problem with many forms of certification is, you know, they're so focused on the product and not like the business value or the solution or the complete package. You know, in other words, you know, you might learn, you know, VMware, let's say vSphere, but you know nothing about storage or networking, nor do you really understand why you're using VMware and why it's so important to the company and how it saves the company money. And, you know, they're so focused on that particular one, you know, product. I did actually enjoy the CompTIA exam I took recently because, you know, it's all about cloud computing, not to plug CompTIA. You know, it's actually the first CompTIA exam I've taken in, you know, probably 10 years. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed it from the sense of it wasn't technical. It was business value, you know, understanding the business value of cloud computing and, you know, how it's really going to help, you know, you or your company. So I found that sort of a fresh look at certifications. And I wish there were more that were like that and more that were hands-on. I mean, I really enjoyed the VMware VCAP exam because it was, you know, 100% hands-on, accessing real servers, configuring, you know, real things. So when you left out of there, you felt like, you know, yeah, either I did it or I didn't do it. You know, I was on the real servers. I didn't fail because of some poorly worded questions or, you know, tricks in the questions or, you know, something silly like that.
Speaking about the VCAP exam, and I've been putting it off. I've just been too busy. I'm almost afraid to do it because I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to put forth enough time, you know, that it's going to require. So ideally the thing is, you know, get on it now and wait for the VCAP 5. What type of advice would you give to the, you know, Joe IT Pro who's wanting to go the next, you know, level but really is worried about their time commitment? Is it, you know, try and fail, or is it, you know, hold until you have the time? You know, what would you tell somebody like me? Because that's where I'm at right now.
I would, you know, try to push yourself for the DCA exam. It's not as big of a time commitment, let's say, as like a Cisco CCIE, where you need to spend the next year, you know, locked in your lab in the basement kind of thing. I thought it was doable if you, you know, really practiced, you know, what the typical admin should know with vSphere. If you really practice that stuff, like if you could configure, you know, a new NFS data store and bring it up and, you know, go check the log file as to why it didn't work. If you could do that, you know, in your sleep in under, you know, 1 minute, that's a great, you know, way to prepare for the DCA or look at it. You know, just these common things that you would do every day, you just need to be able to do them quickly and efficiently.
Yeah, good point. You know, chances are the answer is yes. I mean, I live in the vSphere client, right? Because that's where I'd have the most, you know, potential of my success would be, you know, that next level advanced certification in the VMware realm. I'd do best there. So, and I work with a lot of different, you know, storage products here in my professional responsibilities at Veeam. And that's important because a lot of times, especially in VMware circles, right, a lot of times these the certification and, you know, training material has to take a storage agnostic view. So you could have an iSCSI question one time, next question would be an NFS question, next question would be a fiber channel, next would be direct attached storage. And chances are most IT pros only deal with one or two of those types of storage. So there's a huge, you know, varietal aspect that comes into play.
Yeah, to me, that's always one of the benefits of, you know, pursuing a certification is you're forced to get outside of your comfort zone and learn about other, you know, could be other forms of storage. It could be different scales of the product. For example, when I used to do Microsoft tests, you know, they always had the, what is it, Contoso,
company,
you know, where it's 5,000 users and, you know, 100 worldwide locations. Well, in my experience, you know, I just didn't have that sort of scale.
Right.
So it forces you to look at different things that you're not, you know, doing every day and learn about them. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, that brings up a good point because you have to go outside of your box. And then in the VMware realm, there's even, okay, I might be a customer that uses vSphere Essentials Plus, right? Well, you know that the questions don't really care about licensing, so you need to know about Enterprise Plus features, right? So it's going to take you out of your zone. So another plug to really, really consider that lab, right? You know, if you're not in an environment where your professional responsibilities give you everything you need, which I would argue that most of us don't, it might be worth, you know, investing in a home lab. And, you know, you've done blogs on it. I've done blogs on it. The home lab is actually easier than one would think to set up, but I can't understate the value of it. It's absolutely critical, especially, you know, when the work realm doesn't have it available.
Yeah, it's incredibly important, you know, for certification, for learning. You know, why not have a lab to learn about the next product that you want to put in, you know, at your company even. In the past, I had a lab that was sponsored by my company. Today, you know, it's sponsored really by a mix of me and my company, versus whatever I can get my hands on, you know, perhaps from a vendor on loan or something.
Yeah.
But it just offers so much value, for learning and having, you know, different forms of storage, different types of servers, different applications, different performance monitoring tools, different backup tools, you know, all these different things. You can compare their value, you know, in your lab, and all these things are available, you know, on 60-day evaluations, or like Veeam has the NFR for, you know, VCPs. You know, there's a lot of different ways to get your hands on this type of stuff. Many people use their license from work. I'm not going to question whether or not that's, you know, if it's your work.
It's not. It's bad. There's no question about it. That's not.
But
right.
If it's your work lab, it's your work lab and it's at work, I don't know. I'm not going to get into licensing anyway.
I'm not.
You can edit that out.
Make a home lab is the short answer.
That's right.
Leverage evaluation and NFR and free products. You know, that's the sound strategy. And while you're at it, start a blog, right?
Good idea.
There's no better way, and you and I both know this. Don't tell me you haven't done it. How do I do something? Oh, I wrote a blog about that 5 years ago. I will Google myself in some words, and I will find it every time. Do you do the same thing?
I do, and I find, you know, other people I know, I find their, you know, solutions on their blogs, on your blog, or Eric Siebert, or Simon Seagrave, you know, all these different people, I find their solutions to my problems.
Yep.
And I think they find, you know, solutions to their problems from my blog. So it's a great ecosystem.
There's no better way to help yourself not forget than to start a blog about every little, you know, experiment you're trying in your home lab. William Lamb actually probably has the best example of that. His virtually ghetto lab really is ghetto, and that's really where most of his stuff historically has come from. You know, he's, of course, moved to VMware and probably has access to a little bit more resources, but, he kind of is the epitome of that, right? So it's available. It's for you. It's worth the investment. Can't stress it enough. David, we're going to wrap up here. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about IT training and certification strategies. I guess while I'm at it, I'm going to throw a couple cheap plugs out there. First of all, you mentioned it, and that's why I'm going to do it. The NFR program for Veeam Backup and Replication. You can get a free 2-socket copy of that for your home lab or work lab, for that matter, for members of the VMware and Microsoft community. We also just launched our Veeam 1 version 6 free edition for both Hyper-V and vSphere. Ding, ding, ding. That's cool. And we also launched our free System Center Management Pack for System Center Ops Manager 2012 to manage VMware within SCOM. How cool is that? Free stuff. Up to 10 sockets. That last one is 10 sockets. So
wow.
That's pretty cool.
If I could throw in a quick cheap plug.
Sure.
Of course, Train Signal, my vSphere 5 course. I came out with a VMware vCloud Director Essentials course. We've got a Vue 5 course from Brian Knutson, and we've got a new vSphere Advanced Networking course from Jason Nash. And then you mentioned Scott Lowe earlier. He's actually creating a vSphere Design course for us that'll be out in the next few months. So a lot of exciting video training options for people that is less expensive than going to a training class.
Absolutely. And our common friend Elias Knaser is also conspiring with you with content there as well. Good stuff, trainsignal.com. Friends of Veeam, everybody. It's all good. David, thanks for being on the show. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me, Rick. Take care.